Good morning to each one gathered here this morning. Greet each one in Jesus' name. It's a real blessing to be together in the house of God with fellow believers, people who are endeavoring to serve God and helping each other on this journey through life. What's been mentioned a number of times already that today is Father's Day, and the good thing about having to preach on a special day is you don't have to decide or you don't have to wrestle too much with what you're going to preach about. But the difficult thing about it is that you do have to prepare a sermon, a message about the subject. And so that can be a little bit difficult too. So I'm not sure which is better. But as I was preparing this sermon, was thinking about it, and my mind probably goes a little bit down the same line that Kevin's did this morning, that it seems like the elders or somebody older should be preaching or teaching some of these things. Here I am, a young father, and I'm supposed to preach to the fathers here this morning and to encourage yous. And I know it's often said that we, on Mother's Day, we show a lot of respect and brag on them, and then on Father's Day we kind of come down hard on them and tell them that they're supposed to be doing better. So I'm going to try not to do that this morning. I hope it can be encouraging. I hope it can be the fathers can feel like they're lifted up and respected, and hope it can help us all to grow. Because I know, as in my own life as a father, that I need to continue to grow, continue to do better. So as we think about a father, and my mind went down the line again that, you know, there's different levels of fathers, and I still haven't come up with a good word. There's different, you know, so almost every male on this planet can be a father. But not everybody chooses to be a godly father. Not everybody even chooses to be a good father, someone who is there, someone who cares for his children, someone who looks after his child's well-being. You know, there's people, children, who grow up in a home where it's a single mom, or maybe there's some who grow up in where there's in a orphan situation where they do not know their father, but yet they still have a father. And what are we this morning? Because as I thought about this too, it can come right down to us. We can actually be a father, a parent in the home, and yet we can still be absent. We cannot be being this good father. So I entitled my message, "A True Father." And I hope that, I don't know, I hope you understand where I'm going with that thought about being a father more than just a biological parent. So what is a father? What makes a good father a true father? Well, I believe this morning that we are commanded to honor our fathers. Let me just, I'm backing up just a little bit before I get into my other thought. In the scripture, we are commanded to honor our fathers and our mothers, and that is what today is set aside to celebrate. It's an honor to them. So first of all, we need to make sure that we are showing them honor and respect. What makes this true father? What is a good formula to a good father? And so I've decided this morning to use the word father as an acrostic to try to just take a couple of points, or make a point on each letter, that is some things that so I want to make a few points of on each one of what a father is, and or how he handles life, and some things that need to be part of us as fathers if we're going to be a true father. So first of all, my first point is faith. I think we would all agree that we as dads this morning here that to be the best possible father, we have to have a saving faith. We have to have a faith that we can cling to, regardless of how much we love our children, regardless of what you do to take care of them. If you have not trust in, if you don't have your trust in Christ, you're going to fall short as a father. You cannot be that example that God wants us to be. So we have to be grounded in Him. We have to have this a saving faith. We also have to have a living faith, a faith that is in connection with God. Does your faith stand as a security for your children? I think it's very important that your children will be more secure in you as a father if you have a living faith in your God. And when I mean living faith, a faith that is in action, a faith that is giving, a faith that is praying, a faith that is relying on God and trusting in Him and speaking often of Him to your children and to others. There's a story that goes like this. There was a farmer many years ago. Him and his family, after a hard year of a typical farm work, was rewarded with an unusual fine crop of grain. They were happy days ahead. Just a few days before the harvest, there came a terrible wind and hailstorm. The entire crop was destroyed. After the storm was over, the father, with his wife and little boy at his side, went out to the back porch to view the field and the damage. The little boy looked at what was formerly a beautiful field of wheat and tearfully looked up at his dad, expecting to hear words of despair. All at once, his father started singing softly, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Years later, the boy, now grown, says that this was the greatest sermon I have ever heard. That was a living faith. What do we do in those difficult circumstances? This farmer, he had lost his crop of wheat, I believe it was, or grain. But because of his faith that was showed in these difficult trials, he gained the soul of his son. He was a living example. The son saw the faith of the father the faith of a godly father in practice. So are we living out a living faith this morning? Do our children know that we trust in God? They maybe know better than you and I do if we truly are trusting in God. So we need to have that saving faith, which shows itself in a living way. The next point, which is somewhat close to this, is how we as fathers handle adversity. You know, life is not easy. And in life, we will have adversity. We will have difficulties that come along. You're not going to make it through life without some trials or some troubles. But a proper approach of how we handle this is very important for us as fathers as well. What should our approach be when adversity comes our way? How do we handle it? When we struggle for answers or we cannot explain what is happening, where do we go? Turn your Bibles to Psalms 86. I want to pull a couple of verses out of the Psalms here about dealing with adversity. We know David, he often cried out to God. David faced his fair share of adversities. Some was God allowed it in his life. Some was somewhat brought on by his own disobedience. But he has a lot of answers. He did ask a lot of questions, but then he often came to understand and would often give the answers as well. So in Psalms 86, verse 7, "In the day of my trouble will I call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." What do we do when we face adversities? The first thing we need to do is go to God in prayer. And this goes hand in hand with that the thing of a living faith. Our children will see and notice that. But first of all, and most importantly, is to take it to God when the adversities come. Take it to Him in prayer. Turn to Psalms 119, verse 138. And it says, "Thy testimony is that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." What should we do when we face adversity? We should rest in God's word. God's word is full of promises. God's word gives us strength. And we need to rely on that. We need to rest in that. Because they are faithful. They will be there for us. And then turn back to Psalms 5, verse 7. So as we build up this relationship with God, this living faith, we go to Him in prayer, we read His word, and He can console us. He gives us strength to move on. But then there's also another thing we need to do. In Psalms 5, verse 7, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple." We also need to go to God's house when we face adversity. We need to gather with brothers and sisters who will be there to lift us up, will be there to encourage us, to help us through. When I am weak, there's others who are strong. And then there's times when we are maybe strong that we need to help the weak. We all have our turn and our time, and we need each other. We also need to be this good example, because our children are watching us. They will always remember how you as a dad, you as a father, took the family through the trials of life. Some of us get a little more stressed out than others do. Some people are able to take it easier, but we need to grow in this and to be a good example to our children and not let our own feelings or our own disappointments to not take that out on our children. One thing is for certain. We as dads this morning will leave behind a legacy. The one most remembered will be all remembered by our children. God help us to set a right example so that when we are gone, our children know exactly how to face adversity in their lives. Hopefully it will be said of them, this is the way Dad did it, so we know exactly what to do. We will trust God. You can turn your Bibles to Psalm 78 for point number 3, and that is to be a father needs to be a teacher. Psalm 78, I want to read verses 1 through 7. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep His commandments." Again, these verses are talking about teaching our children, teaching generations to come. It's saying that we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. There was a teaching program, a passing it on, telling their children, "We will not hide them from our children," showing them to the generations to come. that the generations to come may know them, even the children which shall be born, and then they shall tell their children. Anyway, it's this thing of passing it on generation to generation. Also turn to Proverbs 4. And this is Solomon speaking here. And Solomon was a father writing to his son. And you can look at it from either side. If you're a father this morning, you can look at it from that side. If you're a younger or if you're a child, you can look at it from the other side about hearing instruction and taking it from a father. But father this morning, listen to how Solomon says it here. Hear ye, my children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine ear retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forsake it not, neither decline for the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and in the years of thy life shall be many. I'm going to stop reading there. I guess actually these verses are talking about Solomon's writing, that I believe he was taking some of this instruction from his father, but I think he was also writing in other parts of Proverbs here. He was speaking to his son, so he was saying, son, listen to me, hear what I have to say, and he was trying to teach him. He was trying to teach him to have knowledge, to get wisdom, to grab a hold of those things. Maybe I'm answering the question I have already here, but who is supposed to teach our children this morning? Who is to be the primary teacher? The answer is us fathers. We are the ones who are to be the primary teacher. Our children learn a lot from others, but are we doing our part? I know it's maybe something. Well, let me just say this, that I know in my own life, and I think it's somewhat the same in other people's lives, that we men don't always vocalize everything we are thinking. And so we don't actually say it. We don't actually tell it to them. And so how are they supposed to learn? In our minds, we think, well, you're just supposed to watch, and then you will know. And there is a lot of teaching that comes from watching. But are we vocalizing and telling them simple things if you're around the house or on the farm or at work, telling them what you're doing and how you're doing it and why you're doing that. It's a teaching process all through life. Fathers are ultimately accountable for the teaching of their children. We know there's a variety of teaching things today around us. We have the public school system around us. We have private schools. We have our Christian school here. There's families who even homeschool. So we think about the way children get their education. What is, you know, who is responsible? Is it the government's responsibility? Is it a teacher at the school? Is it their responsibility? And I believe that God has given us as fathers the primary responsibility for overseeing our child's education, our child's teaching. If a child attends a public school and turns out to be the world's best engineer, or if a son or daughter graduates with honors from Yale or Harvard and they miss heaven because no one has taught them about Jesus, what has he accomplished? If we go to some highly accredited school but yet we fail to learn about God, what are we accomplishing? Fathers, make certain your children are getting a godly education. Yes, we need to know writing and English, science, history. Some of that we need to know. Some of that is interesting and good to know. Some of that will just help our overall view of society and the world around us. But those things need to be laced with Christian godly education or education needs to be more than just math and English and history. In order for a dad to teach his children, he must be available. If we're going to be a good teacher this morning, we need to be there for our children. And I understand that we fathers have work to do, and we are required and responsible to make sure that our children are provided and taken care for in that way. If we neglect that, we're not a good father either. But there's nothing more important than investing teaching time into your children. Making sure that there is time set aside in your day for prayer and devotion, or family prayers and devotions. Making sure you have time to help with your children's homework. Help them with a project that they're trying to do for school or outside or around the barn, wherever it may be. Are you available, or do you quickly brush them off and go about your own things, your own interests, your own hobbies even maybe? And I'm speaking out of my own life of something that continually needs work. And maybe you all are doing better at that than I am. But it's just a challenge that if we're not available, if we're not there for our children, how good of a teacher are we going to be? The next point is to be a helper. A helper to your children, to your family. And did I get the right one? Yeah, I did. Thought I was out of order there for a moment. Fathers are to be helpers for their children, to their wives. In 1 Peter 3:7 it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." And this is speaking of the wives actually, "giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And I think it applies to not only to our wives, but also probably to our children, of helping the weaker vessel, or helping those who need our help. We all know that wives are weaker physically. Children are weaker physically than we men, and so we're able to do some things that they need done, whether it's a simple thing of physical strength, of carrying something that's heavy, opening something that is hard, moving something that is big. But I think also God has given us the ability as men to be maybe stronger emotionally, or to bear some of the larger burdens and responsibilities of home life. You know, there's things that scare young children. There's maybe things that even scare your wife. And we're called to step up to the plate and to be there and to add this security, this overall protection in times like those. We don't need to be ashamed of it. We probably need to embrace it just a little bit more, that we are the stronger, the one who is able to carry the weight. And we need to carry the weight. So a good father is a helper to his children and to his wife. And a father needs to be more than just a father needs to be more than just a leader or a boss. He needs to more than just call the shots or to be the one who demands things get done, barking around the house or outside that time to clean up or time to move on. We need to get alongside and help them and help clean up around the house, help do what things that need done, because we're more than just bringing home the paycheck or just paying for the bills or just being the boss. We need to be a helper that has hands involved. As I mentioned before, a father will help with homework or school project. He will be there for his children. He'll attend the school programs or parent-teacher meetings, just being involved. Wherever your child needs to go, and every family may be a little different, husband and wives work out some of those details differently, but maybe you're the one who takes the child to the doctor, or maybe, yeah, There's a lot of different places that fathers need to be involved, but the child must know that there will always be an arm there to lean on. They know that they can rely on dad. When things get difficult, they can call you up or they can come over to you and ask you for your help, and you'll be there and you will listen. The next point is encouragement. A father will be somebody who encourages. He will show his children he cares by encouraging them. It just shows that he is overall a caring person. And one of the best ways to encourage your children is by letting them know you care. We care when they fall down and get hurt. We care when they have a bad day at school. We care when their friends hurt their feelings. We care when their special plans don't turn out the way they have planned. You see, that takes some discretion. We need to show them that we care, and on the other hand, we need to help them through. We need to teach them that life does have its difficulties, and you can go back to the adversity one, and we teach them that these hard times will come, and we help them through, and we encourage them on. Encouragement doesn't mean that we're just going to be giving them everything they want. Or trying to help them have everything want. That is not true encouragement, but we help them to overcome or to realize or to move on and move past these difficult things or these things that let them down. As fathers, other than our God, we should be the best friend a child has. Our children should come to us. They should want to come to us. As a friend, as somebody who they know will be there and encourage them. So a father is caring. He's also forgiving under encouragement. He encourages his children by showing them that he does forgive them. And sometimes this can also be a difficult thing for us as fathers to do, is to actually admit that we're wrong or actually forgive them for things they have done wrong. Because sometimes they break valuable things, they bend things, they destroy stuff. And there's a certain time for discipline and for instruction, and then there's also a time where we need to have to show forgiveness and show grace. We need to continue to encourage them by forgiving them. Jumping down to the next point here is reputation. And these all go hand in hand because the ones before will actually lead into this one. All those put together in a lifetime of that will eventually will show who you are. You're in Proverbs here, so turn to Proverbs 22, verse 1. So what are we, fathers? What is our reputation? What are we seeking after? What are we striving for? Well, the wisest man of all time says this, a very familiar verse, but a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. What is your reputation this morning? Is it a good name? Is it loving favor? Or are you known by the amount of silver and gold and wealth that you have? Sometimes we can fall prey to that, where we desire to be known by what we have and not by what we have done, or not by our loving favor to others. A godly character is the most important part of our reputation. Strive hard to keep yourself close to God. We need a life that is to reflect Jesus and our Lord. We need to be this a living example to our children. We don't want to do anything to bring embarrassment to the name of Christ. You see, we are to be an example or a model of what God our Father is to us in a Christian relationship, as is a father to his children. And so we have the ability this morning to very much distort a child's view of what of God our Father in heaven. If we're quick to anger with our children, or if we're quick to lash out at them and not to forgive them, not to care for them, they'll go through life thinking that that is the way God is, their Heavenly Father is to them as well. Today is Father's Day, and I hope that when each of us are gone, our children and our grandchildren will be able to say about us, he was a godly man and his character was without reproach, is basically what Solomon is saying here. A man that is without flaw, that he built his life on God. He stayed away from sin. He had a saving faith. He was serving the Lord. He was spotless in as many ways as possible. In 2 Peter 3, verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace and without spot and blemish." That should be our desire, to have that godly character, a reputation that is without spot. Our reputation should also be a reputation of fearless courage. In Joshua 24, verse 12, and I don't think I'm going to turn there, but he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And later on then he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, he was putting in a stake and he was going to stand up. He was saying, "This is where I'm at. You can choose where you want to be, but this is where I'm going to be." You see, fathers, we need to have a reputation for courage. It takes a lot of courage to live for God today. There's a wicked world around us, and there's many Christians who are becoming much like the world. They are becoming part of the world. But are we going to put that stake in the ground and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? We're going to do what it takes. And that will mean that we're going to be separate, or we're going to be different from the world. We're not going to look like the world, and that can be hard, but we're going to say, "No, we are going to do this. As for my children, my children's children, I'm going to do this." Because if you go back to Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." You see, if we're just trying to please society or the men, the people around us, it will bring a snare. It will not be good for us. And I believe that it is time for us as godly men to stand up and be men. We need to stand up and be strong Christian men in a kind and loving way, but I think so often we maybe fail in that area. There will always be those who will not have the courage and spiritual backbone to do what is right. But we need to be more like Joshua. There's a little poem that I came across that says, "The easy road" is the title. "The easy roads are crowded and the level roads are jammed. The pleasant little rivers with the drifting folks are jammed. But off yonder where it's rocky, where you get a better view, you'll find the ranks are thinning and the travelers are few." It speaks there that the places of ease are often full, but up where it's harder, where it's more difficult, there will not be as many people. But it will be rewarding, especially when we think of it in light of eternity. Because we do not actually have the privilege of joining the others on the easy roads that are jammed. So help us all to, may God help us all to have this godly character and fearless courage, a reputation that can be unspotted by the world. We see what our fathers this morning, they have faith, they handle adversity, they're teachers, they're helpers, they're encouragement, and they have a godly reputation. One small story here in closing yet. It says, build me a son. And I want it to be an encouragement to us as fathers as we think about our children, that this would be a prayer somewhat of ours. And also think about the work that your father put into your life. And I'm sure it's a prayer of his as well, if he's still living or was a prayer. It says, build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a son whose wisdom will not take the place of deeds, a son who will know thee, who is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenges. Here, let him learn to stand up in the storm. Here, let him learn compassion from those who fail. Build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men, one who will reach into the future, yet never forget the past. And after all these things are his, add, I pray, enough a sense of humor that he may always be serious, but never take himself too seriously. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity of true greatness and an open mind of true wisdom and the meekness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain. As fathers this morning, may God give us a strength and courage to live for him, and may the determination to pass our faith on to our children, may it grant to us children who grow up to be molded like this saying, this whole story said. May God give us the strength to do so. Let's kneel together for prayer.